man, is that the Rock News Weekly podcast?
Yeah, man. Well, turn it up, man.
This is Rock News Weekly. Every week, we bring you all the latest headlines in rock, metal, indie, grunge, alt, and classic rock news, this week's new releases, this week in music history trivia, movies, pop culture, and more. Now on to this week's episode. This week on the Rock News Weekly podcast, week of February 5th, 2024, season 6, episode number 5. This week we talk about Rob Zombie's bassist Piggy Dee leaves the band after 18 years. Dead & Company confirmed their Las Vegas residency for May and June of this summer. And Zakk Wylde is launching his very own music festival with a Ride for Dime charity motorcycle ride in honor of the late Dimebag Daryl Abbott and more. Plus, this week in rock and roll history trivia, weekly WTF, and so much more. Everything's up at rocknewsweekly.com. Watch us live every Sunday, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, and on demand, youtube.com/rocknewsweekly.
All right, it's time for the Rock News Weekly podcast. What's up, everybody? Chris here as well as David. What's going on?
Not so much.
Not so much?
Just hanging out.
Hanging out.
Except, it's your birthday.
It is my birthday. So, yeah, happy birthday to me, I guess. And we're doing it a little early today. As you guys know, on the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/rocknewsweekly, we go live every week. So we're going live a little earlier this week just because we got some different things going on. Jazzblade, happy birthday in the chat. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Real quick, the last episode, we had a lot of views on YouTube, and there was a lot of comments, and I want to address the, I guess we got DMCA'd by, there was some segment of David Lee Roth's interview that for whatever reason, it just played the ragtime music that was the background music instead of the actual interview. I'm going to try and go up to the YouTube video later today or tomorrow and see if I can't upload just the audio portion and change that out. But just want to apologize to people for that. I didn't know. As we were watching it live on the Twitch video, it was coming through and we were able to hear it. But when I uploaded it to YouTube, for whatever reason, the audio of David Lee Roth's interview got cut out there. So just want to apologize for that. It does happen sometimes with music and different things that we play on the channel. It's other people's property and they can claim rights to that. So, you know, it could have been something along those lines. But just wanted to throw that out there for everybody. And, you know, we're going to do our best to make sure we can get that audio up there. So
maybe David Lee Roth did that himself.
You know, I would be honored. So let's side with that. And let's say that David Lee Roth was watching. He's like, hey, who are these losers?
Do you think he was wearing spandex while he, like...
I think he was butt naked. I think he was butt naked, smoking a big old cigar.
With goggles on.
Yeah, with
on.
Those
like
crazy
steampunk goggles.
The gas welder goggles. Yeah. The gas welder goggles.
I don't like this.
All right, well, let's hope that was the case. But sorry, guys, we'll try and fix that audio. It's up. The audio is perfectly fine on the podcast channel. I know that for a fact. Uploading it to anchor.fm, all the podcast audio is totally fine, but I will double check that YouTube audio and try and get that figured out. So let's get on to this week's episode, though. We got some interesting stories to talk about, including Piggy Dee, the bassist for Rob Zombie's band for the last 18 years, has left the band. We'll talk about that. Dead & Company confirmed their Las Vegas residency for May and June. Zakk Wylde doing his own music festival with a charity motorcycle ride and more. We're going to talk about all that stuff this week. Everything's up always at rocknewsweekly.com. Follow us Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, @rocknewsweekly. I saw a bunch of new subscribers on the YouTube channel after our big views, so thank you guys. Really appreciate that. We're up to almost 100 subscribers now on the YouTube channel, so check it out and appreciate the support. All right, Zakk Wylde launching his own music festival. Check it out, Berserkus. It's called the Berserkus Festival, and it's happening in Bushkill, Pennsylvania at the Poconos Park with Zakk Wylde's Black Label Society as one of the headliners, Cody Jinx, Clutch, Rival Sons, Blackstone Cherry, and then some tribute bands. Zoso is a tribute to Zeppelin, Atomic Punk, a tribute to Van Halen, and then the Iron Maiden's tribute to Maiden, of course. They're going to have a car show, music gear market, Ride for Dime, which is a charity motorcycle ride that they're going to do for Dimebag Daryl Abbott. And it's all happening Saturday, September 14th. You could check it out at berserkus.com. Looks to be a pretty cool thing. I love it when these musicians do their own festivals. You know, it's a tough thing to pull off doing a music festival. And there's these big behemoths out there like Aftershock and everybody else that really like makes the competition tough. And it takes somebody like a Zakk Wylde, frontman of a band, to be able to pull it off, right?
Yeah, and I have to say, the branding on this one, very good.
Perfect, right?
The Berserkus, yeah.
It's like the motorcycle patch, Black Label Society patch.
Yeah.
Pretty cool stuff, man. So definitely check that out if you guys are looking for a good place to take a road trip on your Harley or something like that. That's perfect, man. Saturday, September 14th, berserkus.com.
Out in the PA.
Yeah, out in the woods in Pennsylvania. All right, check this out. They're doing this again. So I saw this tour last year. It was the Freaks on Parade 2020-23 tour. Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper, Ministry, Filter, and now they're doing 2024 and a bunch of other dates. So these are dates and places that they didn't play the last time. So apparently they're going to be on the road again. They figured it was a successful enough run. The artwork looks like it was done by Rob Zombie's daughter.
It looks cool.
It does look cool, though, huh?
I'm trying to see. So we've got Arkansas, Texas, New Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, Texas. Yeah, Montana, I guess. Pennsylvania, New York. A bunch of places in the Midwest.
Yeah, Minnesota.
A lot of Midwest and South.
I'm a little confused about, like, they're obviously not traveling in a bus.
No.
They're just like zigzagging all across. Like, it goes, well, I guess it is. No, beginning of New Minnesota. Well, I guess they must be in a bus. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they are.
Why wouldn't
they? I mean, because it looked like at first it seemed like they were skipping from these strange places to strange places, but now I can see.
Not all. It's all kind of lining up there.
Yeah, I can see the order, yeah.
Goes in the East Coast first and kind of goes through the Midwest. So here's a clear version of the dates. August 20th, kicking off in New Mexico. Fort Worth, September 18th, finishing it out. If you guys want more info, check it out. Rob Zombie, Alice Cooper's website, Live Nation.
That'll be fun.
That's a good show. It was a good tour. I will say, like, Ministry was fantastic. We got to do a meet and greet with Filter, and they were really cool guys.
Really?
Yeah.
They were
awesome. Richard Patrick. Anyway, so yeah, definitely check this show out. I will say Alice Cooper, his stage show is one of the best ones he's done lately. It's fantastic. It's top-notch. He's very theatrical. It's really cool. It's every song's like a different. He almost changes costume for every song.
This is just one of those where it's just like, holy, like so fun. Like,
yep. But it's gonna tie into our main story, rock story of the week. We'll get to that in a minute as we finish up the tour news. There was another big tour announced with Heart, Royal Flush Tour 2024 with Cheap Trick and Squeeze. This is gonna be a pretty cool one for you classic rock fans out there. They're also on tour with Def Leppard and Journey, Heart is, but they're on their 50th anniversary tour, which is pretty wild. Any band being able to do that is pretty impressive, right?
Yeah.
So check this out. It's kicking off. Look at all these dates, man. April 20th, South Carolina. Then they go through Texas, Oklahoma, North Carolina, Maryland, Ohio.
Holy moly.
And then they hop on over to the UK, and they're in Denmark. Norway, France, the UK for a bunch of the AO Arena, Capital FM Arena, a bunch of arena dates, Leeds, Glasgow. And then they come back to the States.
Good gosh, this is really long.
Isn't this crazy? Look at this. And then they end up on the West Coast. Well, not
they're in West Valley City. I bet my uncle will go see him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go. So that's going to be a big show, big tour for Heart, obviously. Probably one of the biggest ones they've ever done. And they're recently inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so perfect timing for them to go out on the road. It's at an all-time high for them. So good tour announced from them. All right, let's move on. AC/DC got leaked. I think this was a leak that AC/DC is going to play 4 shows in Brazil later this year. So there's been no official announcement from AC/DC, and I kind of had to do some work and figure what the deal was. There was a newspaper in Brazil that reported this, that AC/DC will play 4 shows there in September. They're going to play 2 concerts at Morumbi in Sao Paulo and 2 more at the Rock in Rio Festival in Rio de Janeiro. So the thing is this has not been confirmed by the promoter, and AC/DC is not shown anywhere on the official lineup. So it's interesting if this was a media leak info regarding their appearance or if it's just a rumor. I mean, but this was published in the newspaper, so I'm taking it as kind of confirmation that they have some kind of information that we don't. Rock in Rio is huge. That's the it played in 1985. The attendance was 1.5 million people. Isn't that crazy? It was like one of the biggest shows ever.
Wow.
And AC/DC's first show in 7 years took place last October at the Power Trip Festival in Indio, California. Now, there's rumors, too, that bassist Cliff Williams is not going to be returning to AC/DC for this tour. He was their original bassist, and there's rumors that he's not going to be returning because he said his last show was that Power Trip Festival show in Indio, and I guess he's trying to stick to his guns on that. And no word on their drummer as well. Phil Rudd might be back in the group, but we don't know. AC/DC hasn't made an official announcement.
So I figured out why it is that you know all the stuff about the music and I don't.
Why is that?
Because on this, I can't get over 1.5 million people, and I just keep thinking of how the porta potties probably look.
Yeah, one bathroom for 1.5 million. No, probably, dude, could you imagine being out in that crowd and having to go to the bathroom and it's just like a 2-hour walk to wherever you need
to go.
It's just insane. People probably just going on the ground right there. All right, let's get to the rock news. As I was saying, it was tying in with that Rob Zombie tour announcement, right? Well, they have tour dates announced. They're on the books, as we just saw. So they need a new bass player. Rob Zombie's bass player, Piggy D, has left the band, but Rob Zombie has already got a replacement in line. So he revealed his exit earlier in the day. This was on Monday this week. Rob Blasco Nicholson will be the replacement returning to the band, per Rob Zombie's quote. In an Instagram post, Rob Zombie confirmed the news. He wrote, "After 18 years, I'm thrilled to announce that Blasco has returned. The original four-string zombie monster is back. Get ready for a crazy summer of mayhem." Zombie then shared a photo of the current lineup that includes Mike Riggs on guitar and Ginger Fish on drums. He hashtagged the post, "Freaks on Parade Tour, Rob Zombie, Blasco, Riggs, and Ginger Fish." So those are some of the original members of Rob Zombie's band. Now it's kind of back to that. As stated, this is a return for Blasco, who first served as his bassist between 1997 and 2006. Last performing on Educated Horses. That was his last album. At the time, he left the band to play with Ozzy. Ozzy was doing a solo tour, and he left to play with him, which is a pretty nice upgrade, right? That's when Piggy D was added to the lineup. So there's really kind of been no word on why Piggy D has left, but I will note that since John 5 isn't in the lineup, I think there might have been a really good chemistry there with John 5 and Piggy D, and now it seems that Rob is going back to that original group from 97 to 2006 to kind of get that chemistry back together. So looks like this is, you know, a return to form for Rob Zombie's solo career. So what do you think of that news? Do you think it's, do you think it's amicable, or do you think it is what it is and had to do what he had to do?
Yeah, I kind of wonder I do feel kind of happy. I mean, not anything against Piggy D, but I did like back in the, that's when I first was introduced to
that era, the 97 2006 era.
Not to say that I even would really know the difference,
right?
You know,
no, I hear you,
but
though.
But at the that's same when time, a lot like, of hey, that's cool.
Yeah, that was when the majority of their hits were written.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I mean, Rob Zombie's been a solid live performer. He's been a great band to watch, but in terms of musical creativity, it hasn't been there for the past 10 or 15 years for me personally. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I feel like those first couple solo albums that he put out were some of his best work as a solo artist. So maybe they're going to get back to that chemistry, and who knows, maybe they'll actually start putting out some good creative music, right? With this new lineup. And maybe Piggy D's going to be a lot more happier wherever he needs to go and do his thing. So I wish him the best, and hopefully they can move on and everything's cool. All right.
Ride along in their Dragulas.
Tonight on the Grammys. The Grammys are tonight, February 4th on CBS. Not really, you know, a big thing for rock in general, as we all know, but U2 will be performing tonight. The band is going to be streaming an excerpt of their live performance on stage at the Sphere in Las Vegas, where they recently had a record-setting run for their dates for the U2 Acting Baby Live at the Sphere residency. So make sure you guys check that out. It's on tonight, CBS. That's probably one of the things worth watching, you know, in terms of, I don't know, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of things for us in the rock world Grammy-wise that usually gets televised. A lot of that stuff, it's a shame, you know? A lot of those awards for, like, best alternative, that, you know, this and that, and best rock song, a lot of that, we don't see any of that on the television broadcast.
Yeah.
It's all cut for time, and so we don't really get to see any of that. I usually watch it on YouTube later. But, you know, it's a pretty cool performance. I would like to see what it's like in the Sphere. There's a lot of shows coming up, including what we're going to be talking about. That there was a big tour announcement for Dead & Company that are going to be at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and we'll talk about that. The performance categories that are up for Grammy nominations are right here. You guys can see them on the screen. Let me scroll down just a little bit so you can actually see that. Best Metal Performance for New Vocal or Instrument Duo, Instrumental Solo, Duo, Group, or Collaborative Metal Recordings. Bad Man, Disturbed, Phantom of the Opera from Ghost, 72 Seasons, Metallica, Hive Mind, Slipknot, Jaded Spirit Box. We went through these before, but I still want to throw it out there that I think Spirit Box should win this category. They're a brand new band, and for them to be nominated is pretty awesome, and I feel like that's probably the strongest song out of all those songs, and it's a good one for them, so I hope they win tonight. Best Rock Album, Foo Fighters' new one, but here we are, Starcatcher from Greta Van Fleet, Metallica's new one, 72 Seasons, Paramore's new one, This Is Why, and Queens of the Stone Age's latest, In Time's New Roman. So there you go. That's all happening tonight, February 4th, Grammys. We'll let you know next week, of course, the results of all those winners. Big tour. Dead & Company confirming their Las Vegas residency. Check this out. So Las Vegas residency is different from a tour, right? Because Dead & Company told us all last year this was the final tour. This is it, guys. This is the final tour.
Tricky.
Yeah, it's the final tour. You're going to have to spend all this money and go and see us in these very expensive tickets. And just kidding. We're going to do a Las Vegas residency because it's technically not a tour.
Yeah, technically not a tour.
So we're doing a residency. And I feel like this is like a kind of a point to, you know, stuff like this in general that, I don't know. I feel like it's a clever kind of way of doing one thing and then doing another and setting up and kind of cashing in on both, doing a final tour, right? And then you turn around and do a Vegas residency. And it kind of, it's a little slap in the face to the fans because I know a lot of people that went and saw the Dead tour and the last shows, they traveled from all over the world, all over the country to see those shows because they were like, this is going to be it. This is going to be my last chance to see this lineup with these guys, right? They had no idea this was around the corner. And then,
I don't know, though. When you have, like, a cult following like that, you can do whatever the hell
you want. I know. That's the sad
thing.
That's
the thing is, like, they just get older, and they're like, okay, now we don't want to travel.
Yep.
And then everyone will come to them.
I think Ozzy should do something like this.
Yeah.
Like, why not have Ozzy in Vegas for a residency? Put the guy up there with, like, the best healthcare, you know, best whatever, the best team. He doesn't have to travel.
He lives in L.A., right?
Yeah, it wouldn't be too tough. Yeah, no. He lives in the U.K. now. He went back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went back. He lived in L.A. for a while. But anyway, so no, you're right. I mean, it should be expected, especially with bands like this that have rabid fan bases that are always going to, you know, do whatever they're going to do.
You can squeeze as much out of this as you want.
Yep. So they made the announcement this week. 18 shows. It's May 16th, 17th, 18th. So what they're doing is little three-night run chunks. So it's little weekends. I believe it's all Friday, Saturday nights, and they're doing them three, you know, weeks apart from each other kind of deal from May till June. So if you guys are interested in that, I know that's going to be a tough ticket to get. They have VIP packages and stuff that include, you know, hotels and VIP tickets. They lit up the Sphere with the Dead Steely there, which was pretty cool. And it looks to be a pretty cool residency.
Would you go see that?
I would definitely see that. I don't think I'm going to be able to manage it. We're going to actually be in Vegas in April, right before this, for a separate trip. My wife wanted to go to something else. There's another event in April called Viva Las Vegas. It's a rockabilly car show kind of deal. And she wanted to check that out, so we're going to do that.
Are you going to... You gonna dress rockabilly for
it? Well, she is. So I can't. I guess I can't dress like regular. I guess I gotta get something.
You gotta get your white tee on.
Yeah, a bowler shirt and
roll up your cigarettes in there.
And a messenger hat, like a paperboy hat.
Yeah.
And then
maybe some, like, I don't know.
Some suspenders and maybe, like, some very,
I don't know about all
1940s
that.
1940s pants.
Right? Oh, man. Anyway, all right, so there was a big a Sleep Token presale blunder that happened this week. So AEG actually had to issue an apology for what happened. It was pretty crazy, so we'll talk about this. Fans of Sleep Token, understandably upset. Ticket company AEG royally screwed up their presale. Last week, Sleep Token announced their 2024 North American tour, known as the Teeth of God Tour, with special guest Empire State Bastard. According to Loudwire, fans were told the presale would begin on January 24th at 10 a.m. Fans could register a presale through a special website, teethofgod.com, right? Fans who registered, they were supposed to get a presale access code. Well, you could probably already see where this is going to go wrong. Well, the day came, the morning rolled around. Some fans on social media reported having received the presale code over 24 hours after the presale actually started. And even then, their codes didn't even work correctly. Unfortunately for the fans, ticket brokers didn't need a code to snatch up all the tickets before any of the fans could, leaving a lot of the dates sold out before AEG could work out the issue. So, AEG presents issued an apology by email, says, quote, as a Sleep Token fan, oh no, the apology reported by Loudwire reads as follows, quote, as a Sleep Token fan who took the time to register for early access to tickets, we know how committed you are to the band. That's something we don't take lightly, and knowing that, we tried to provide you with early access to the presale as a reward for your loyalty. While our intentions were good, to put it simply, we failed. Our emails and sale codes were sent out on time, yet delivered to you late. And while there are many reasons for that, there's no excuse. We let Sleep Token and you down. Since discovering the malfunctions, we have worked to provide codes to every fan that has contacted us. We value our fans and our artists and will continue to work to create the elevated experience you all expect and deserve. We are so very sorry we let you down. So what do you think of that statement first?
Well,
good enough, I guess, to kind of PR move,
yeah,
to cover
PR,
their base, but
still. It's like you're not going to get your early.
Not going to get nothing.
Yeah, like where's the meat, my friends?
Yeah, well, it's nice to see them take responsibility. Most fans would have rather had the tickets than an apology. After all, this Sleep Token has also dealt with the reselling of their tickets for up to $10,000 to add insult onto injury, right? So they have stepped up now to reassure fans that tickets swooped up by scalpers and bots are being identified and canceled. This is their post, Sleep Token posted, and they said, tickets for the Teeth of God North American Tour have been swiftly depleted, save for a limiting remaining allocation in Montreal, the band wrote on X, formerly Twitter. In the meantime, so-called bot scalper purchases are being identified and canceled before being redistributed for genuine followers to procure. Please remain aware should you wish to attend. Interesting. So they're saying, heads up, we are going to have tickets for you to purchase. Be aware. Be ready to go.
Okay. So it's like a retroactive early purchase.
Right. We're going to go through what I'm picturing is them, this is the, in their mind or their band's PR team or whatever. We're going to go through and cancel as many of these tickets as we can and then bring those tickets back to fans, to the marketplace for fans.
So this, I mean, I'm wondering, are they going to do it like where they like gather them up, right? They gather them and then they go, okay, boom, here we go. Or are they going to be like sending little messages,
yeah,
in a lottery and be like, hey, we've got this available. Do you want to buy it now? And then that seems like it'd be really complicated. So I don't know.
No, that's a good point. And I think a good point in general to like, here's a fan that posted about this. What if we got effed over and purchased tickets from a scalper so we can attend your show?
Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed that I didn't get my code, shelled out hundreds of dollars for tickets so I could see you just for those tickets to become canceled. So now a lot of the fans are pissed because they ended up going and buying the secondary market tickets, and now those are going to become canceled. There was something...
$10,000.
There was something that was sent out, too, that somebody noticed that said that people actually had to be with the original ticket purchaser if they were buying these tickets at the venue. So that wouldn't work because, you know, these people are scalpers. They're not going to show up at the show. So it's a mess, man. In this modern day and age of doing, you know, digital tickets this way with this marketplace, this is what happens. And it's unfortunate and something needs to change because the only people getting screwed over are us, the fans. We're the ones getting screwed over. Either we get our stuff canceled, we get no access to regular price tickets, or we get
just nothing but high price tickets to choose from.
Yep. Just pass it on.
And we are the ones that have to deal with it every time. It sucks. So, all right. Well, let's get to some birthdays. We got some trivia and more news on the way. Let's do it. All right, time for some rock birthdays. David, take it away.
All right, I am pretty excited about this one.
Oh, yeah. Yep, check him out.
John Lydon, frontman of the Sex Pistols, also known as Johnny Rotten, is 68 and has officially transitioned to a Russian street gang train conductor, Harry Potter's stepdad or whatever.
I feel like he looks like a fat bastard from Austin Powers.
I mean,
does he not?
I mean, I was gonna say he doesn't look very rotten.
Fuck, man, he's looking really. Let's get the people a close up of this shot.
He doesn't look very rotten. He looks pretty sweet.
He does not look very rotten at all. He looks very healthy.
Yeah.
I don't know about healthy. I'll say well fed.
Well, I mean, got the whole suit on.
Yeah,
and his
that's
hair's
a suit.
All
yeah,
cut.
I guess that's a suit.
Like, look at his hair's all cut. I mean,
still got the piercings. He's got a nice little do.
He looks like, yeah, I would say he's looking comfortable.
Yep.
Comfortable.
Very comfy, right?
You know what? Good job for not going completely wrong.
Good job, John.
Yeah.
John Lydon. Yes. All right. So
I like your music, my son.
All right. 68. All right.
All right.
Who else we got?
Phil Manzanera. Guitarist of Roxy Music is 73.
73.
He's
still looking pretty good.
And he's about to run for president.
Yeah, he looks like Joe Biden.
Like Joe Biden.
It's like Joe Biden rocking out.
Gosh, dang it.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right.
All right.
Who else we got?
Marcus Mumford of Mumford & Sons. Husband and actress Carey Mulligan is 37. What's your feeling on Mumford & Sons?
I feel like they were a gimmick band. Like one of those bands that a record label's like, yeah, this is good.
They're like, there's this genre.
Yeah. You know, they call it bluegrass. It's, you know, it's a crazy thing.
Yeah. It was funny because I was listening
to a
lot of
music.
Let's
do the Disney version of bluegrass.
I listened to a lot of music that was kind of like this, like in college.
Right.
And I would play it for my friends and they'd always be like, oh, this is crappy.
Yeah.
And then like a year or so, I was talking to my wife about this yesterday. A year or so later, they're all like, they'd come to me and they're like, have you heard this band Mumford & Sons? No, I haven't.
No, tell me all about them. No, they were a BS band, man.
Sounds all right.
I have a lot of respect for folk and bluegrass music, real stuff like that, but I feel like they were just like a contrived kind of version of that stuff. Yeah.
They're too sexy, right? They're
too
good looking.
They're like boy band of bluegrass. I don't know.
There you go. Phil Collins, the great Phil Collins of Genesis, is 73 years old.
He's stepped away from drumming on the Genesis tours and he just does the vocals now, and his son actually takes over on the drums, which is pretty cool.
Did you hear that Phil Collins is like a meme? Like people like don't like him or something. I'm like, what? I love Phil Collins.
I'll never stop
loving Phil Collins
because he's like a curmudgeon old man or
something.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't really know.
I don't know.
I don't know what the whippersnappers
what the kids are saying these
days.
What
are the kids saying these days?
He's 73. All right, who else we got?
Steve Aguirre, former lead singer of Journey, is 65.
Yeah, he was Steve Perry's replacement. All right, who else we got? I think that's it for birthdays.
That's all. That's
all right.
All.
Time for some trivia. Yes, time for some trivia. This week in rock and roll history trivia. All right, let's get to it. January 30th, 1970. All the members of this band were arrested in New Orleans for possession of marijuana. The band didn't return to Louisiana for 7 years. And they stayed away from New Orleans for a full decade. What band was it? Was it A, The Grateful Dead, B, Jefferson Airplane, C, Three Dog Night, or D, Cannabis Crosby and the Marijuana Maniacs of the French Quarter? A very short-lived band, only toured in Louisiana for a short time, but they were pretty wild. What do you think?
The marijuana maniacs.
Maniacs.
You know, so the go-to answer would likely be the Grateful Dead, but I think you're trying to trick me.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's probably, let's go in 1970.
1970, January 30th.
Yeah, let's go with Jefferson Airplane.
Jefferson Airplane?
It's in the middle.
It is in the middle. Should have went with the obvious choice, though, because it was them. Yes. So Grateful Dead nabbed in New Orleans narcotics raid. Look at the cheesy grin on Jerry's face at the mugshot there. Isn't that hilarious? All right. So, yes, January 30th. 1970, all the members of Grateful Dead, except for keyboardist Ron Pigpen McKernan. I don't know where he was at the time, but they were all arrested.
It's probably like smash face, like somewhere.
Look at this. And here's the article. It says 19 arrested on drug charges. And wow. Here's a picture of Owsley Stanley. Do you know that name?
Owsley Stanley.
He was one of the pioneers of the LSD movement in San Francisco. He was a big, big LSD chef, and he was the one that kind of supplied a lot of the LSD to the hippies and during that time. So that was like kind of their main guy, Owsley Stanley. So anyway, there's a clip from the article. And band didn't return to Louisiana for 7 years, and the incident inspired some of the lyrics in Truckin'. There's a part in Truckin' where they talk about it. They say Dallas too close to New Orleans, and you know, and they say, you know, set up like a bowling pin, and that was, you know, it gets to wearing thin, and that was them getting up set up, and that was an undercover cop right there. And they were basically set up. They knew that the Grateful Dead was coming into town. They knew that they were known for whatever, marijuana and drugs and things like that. So this undercover guy went in there acted like he was cool and bought some stuff. Right? What a bunch of BS, right? And that was, you know, it's still, I don't know if it still really happens that way. I don't think so, obviously, with big major bands. But Grateful Dead were huge at the time.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, like Willie Nelson. Oh, we know Willie Nelson's coming to town. Let's go on Willie Nelson's tour bus and set him up, act like we're cool, and bust him, you know? It's like, come on, guys. Anyway.
I'd like to meet those guys in high school.
Yeah, really fun guys that really got invited cool. to a bunch of parties and were really cool, I'm sure. Yeah, this is their way of getting
back. Actually, you know what? They probably were the cool guys in high school.
They probably were, actually. All right, so we got some new rock and metal albums out this week. David, take it away.
All right, so we got All Out War, Celestial Rot. That's a good one.
That's a good one. That's a nice one.
Funerals. Let the Earth Be Silent. Holy Water. Lands Down Medicine. Leprous. Aphelion. Look at that. Got some geography and astronomy terms in there.
Yes.
Memoriam. Rise to Power. Mithridatum. Harrowing. Nervo Chaos. Catonic Wrath. Rexoria, Imperial Dawn, Rajkaja, Turbo Polko
We're getting
Party.
Into the tough to pronounce ones now.
Yeah, I mean, that's like seven in a row that are virtually impossible to say. Sanguisugabog.
Yeah.
Is that Tagalog? That must be some Filipino there.
I guess.
Smashing Pumpkins, Atum, Act 2.
Oh, Autumn. Yes.
Autumn, yes. Sorry, I did that last week again. The Winery Dogs, 3, Woo, L'Orchestra, and Xandria, The Wonders Still Awaiting.
The only regular rock album, I guess, Smashing Pumpkins on that one. And yeah. I feel like that one was out a week or two ago. Like, I thought that one, I don't know why that's... maybe it's a different version of it. I don't know.
Something like that.
Maybe it's the full version. I'm not sure. But yeah, Sanguisugabog.
Sanguisugabog.
Good stuff, huh?
You ever listen to them?
No, but I hear they're extremely heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did I even say Homicidal? I didn't even say the name of their album. I was so
Homicidal
overcome.
Ecstasy?
Homicidal Ecstasy.
Yeah.
I was so overcome with the trying to figure out how to
say. It's a feel-good family album.
Sanguisugabog.
It's something you put on in the car with the kids. You pick them up, you
know, right?
From school. Hey, you guys heard the new Sanguisugabog?
Have you listened to Sanguisugabog?
Mom, put on the new Sanguisugabog.
I don't like this album.
Homicidal Ecstasy.
Drink your blood. Be quiet and drink your blood.
You will like this. All right, meteorologist sneaks Disturbed lyrics into a weather report. I thought this was great. So this guy,
it's very on theme.
It is pretty great though. About the, he doesn't just do heavy metal lyrics. He does everything. So this guy, Weather Adam, he's at Weather Adam on his Instagram. He's known for taking requests from his followers to sneak lyrics of different artists and different songs into his weather reports, which I really
love. I like this guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to play you guys a video here because this is pretty hilarious of this weather guy doing this Disturbed. And and look at Disturbed was one of the top comments. They said, awesome, and it's got 70,000 likes on it. All right, so I'm going to play it for you guys here. Let's give everybody on the Twitch and the YouTube a view here of the Instagram. And you guys are still going to be able to hear it. Sorry if this gets DMCA'd later after the fact, but it shouldn't. This is from his Instagram page, so we should be good. Check it out.
And there is a lot of cedar pollen flying around in the air this morning. You may wake up having to clear your throat like, oh, ah, ah, ah. I mean, that's how I felt this morning. These winds out of the northwest, 15 to 25, gusts up to 40. Now, it might look nice outside right now, but as soon as you step out, oh, you get hit with that wind. Another windy day today, and this time of year, I'm drowning in my sea of loathing for this cedar pollen. We're right in the peak of season, and when the wind picks up, we get a lot of it flying around in the air. We've had Arctic air up to the north, but I'll animate this into next week when suddenly it changes. Violently, it changes. We could see temperatures reaching minus 20, for example, in the central part of the country. We've had a lot of changing weather lately, and if you're having some trouble in dealing with these changes, living with these changes, well, unfortunately, we've got more to come here. Notice another front Thursday night to Friday morning. Now, let's talk about
this
cedar,
is one of the best ones
here.
The
sickness. You can see a lot of it north and west of Houston, so with winds coming from that direction, it's, if you suffer from cedar pollen, it's really rough. I need to psych myself up to basically go outside, like, get up, come on, get down with the sickness, get out there, enjoy some sunshine.
All right, so what'd you think of that? That was pretty good, right?
Yes, his whole affect is good. He's just like...
And he does it kind of nonchalantly.
Mild-mannered, yeah. And you know, on, he's like, up, you're out, you come at the pollen's...
I'm like, oh. Yeah, I thought that was fantastic. Well done, Weather Adam. And so he's already getting requests for, like, do System of a Down next and a bunch of other ones. So we'll keep up with Weather Adam, and hopefully he'll be doing some good ones. Follow him for yourself.
I mean,
at
really,
Weather
though,
Adam.
Like, that many, he just does, he'll do that many from one band.
Yeah, and he did Eminem. He did, like, a bunch of other, all genres, not just rock. And so he does lyrics.
I wonder if we could challenge him to do a very difficult one.
Do Sanguasuga Bog.
Yeah, Sanguasuga
Bog. Dude, do something from Eternal
do
Damnation.
Do Sepultura.
Yeah. Do Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
Do Cannibal Corpse next. All right. What is an omnidirectional floor? Have you heard of this? This is wild, man. Have you seen any of this yet?
Okay. Is that Morgan Freeman?
It is not.
Oh, no. I just saw the Disney thing, and I thought that's got to be a movie star.
This
it's
guy,
kind of far away.
National Inventors Hall of Famer Lanny Smoot is a Disney research fellow and Imagineer with a brand new trick up his sleeve. He's got this thing that we're going to play for you guys. It's pretty wild, man. So it's a floor for virtual reality situations. And it's called a hollow tile floor, okay? And this is pretty wild. So I'm going to show it for you guys here on the Twitch and the YouTube channel. This is a video from Disney with Lanny Smoot talking about this. Check it out.
So this is the holotile.
It is. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to do a little demonstration of it. So I can walk on this omnidirectional floor in any direction I want. It will automatically do whatever it needs to have me stay on the floor. And what's amazing about this is multiple people can be on it and all walking independently. They can walk in virtual reality and so many other things.
So where are you hoping this tech ends up?
You know, imagine a number of people being in a room, being able to be somewhere else collaboratively and moving around, seeing, doing sightseeing. Imagine theatrical stages that might have these embedded in them so that dancers can do amazing moves. Not me, but really good dancers. So there are just so many applications for this type of technology, and we don't know yet where it'll be used.
Well, it's official. I think you probably have one of the coolest jobs.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So
it gives
me
an amazing opportunity to use these inventions that I've made in service of people having fun.
Well, Lanny, it's been great catching up with you. Thanks for showing us around.
See how the floor moves up and down, too? Like, it doesn't just stay stationary. It actually moves, like, to support wherever you're going or when your foot gets lifted or whatever. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is wild.
So what do you think of that? That's supposed to be designed for, like, virtual reality situations and, like he was saying, for, you know, obviously for stuff with movies and then performing.
I think they got it all wrong.
What do you think?
I think they just put that in prisons.
Prisons. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? And then people trying to run out, they can't move.
Line the floor in the prison with that.
Like, right?
Hey, that's a great...
Well, because I'm just sitting here thinking,
you couldn't.
How does he get off of that
dang
thing?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Does he have to jump?
Well, you saw him kind of like do the
sidestep.
That's like a sidestep.
Like,
so maybe
sidestep sort of works.
Yeah, but that's a good point, man. I mean... Yeah.
Well, and you know another thing, though, is I don't appreciate that they don't explain how it works at all.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like that, you know, that bugs me. I'm like, you know,
well,
what?
Maybe it's keeping the proprietary technology. That
yeah,
if they explained it,
bugs me, man. I'm
China's
like,
going to go and copy this or whatever.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I know. I agree, though.
But it's like, I wish they would just tell us, like, how it works so that I can... make my own?
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I don't know.
Huh?
I just want to know. I hate it when there's that. I guess it's Disney magic.
It's Disney. So, yeah, they're trying to keep that Disney magic
Disney
going.
Disney magic.
So there you go. Interesting, though. Omnidirectional floor. All right, weekly WTF this week. A mysterious phone call cloned Biden's voice. So did you hear this? There was a robocall that was going around impersonating President Joe Biden. In New Hampshire.
Oh, is this telling him not to vote?
Right.
It was using
an AI voice clone. And so now they're trying to figure out, like, what to do with these. There's no laws, federal laws, prohibiting the creation or sharing of deepfakes. So there's several bills proposed, but nothing's been put forward. Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like maybe finally they'll actually start regulating some of this new
Yeah, once something like this happens.
Because it's like now you can do whatever the heck you want. Disturbs all kinds of people's lives.
Yep.
And it just rolls right out. You know,
all right,
AI.
So I have an example of some AI that's actually live on Twitch right now that is a mock debate. It's called the Trump or Biden 2024 debate. And it's fueled by the chat. And so the chat will ask the candidates questions. And these AI bots respond in very vulgar, crazy ways. So are you ready to hear some of this? All right, check it out.
Without needing a teleprompter to remind them how to hold it. So sit back and enjoy the show because Sleepy Joe is stumbling his way through the circus like he's running for mayor of Clueless Town.
So, okay, I'm not going to keep playing it, but it's wild, man. So that's an AI bot that's on Twitch right now that is fueled by the chat. The chat will ask him questions like, Trump, do you smoke crack or weed? And he will respond in some kind of crazy way. So... pretty wild that we already are at that level with AI technology, right? They have a Twitch channel where it's just a fake debate 24/7, fueled by AI.
I do wonder who could poop in their laptop faster
and close it without smoking.
Without smoking.
All right. Have you heard of this, David? Don't eat fried toothpicks, South Korea warns.
I won't.
It's a TikTok trend in South Korea. They've been deep frying toothpicks and eating them. With a few influencers even adding seasoning to the sticks to make them more tasty.
Oh, that doesn't sound
Korea
like
now.
Good
stop.
For your guts at all.
And yes, in an effort to stop the spread of this trend, the South Korean Health Ministry has posted a warning on X. This is not a product to eat. The starch toothpick is a sanitary product. Their safety has not been verified. So these are starch toothpicks.
They're starch toothpicks, so they're not wood.
It's not wooden toothpicks.
Okay.
But still, they say that their safety, it's meant to be a disposable type of toothpick,
okay.
Not an actual
so
wooden one.
So the chemicals in it maybe are not what you want in you.
Right.
I was just thinking all that woody material is not going to, but it's not wood. So, but the chemicals in there. Shoot.
Yeah, there could be a weird kind of chemical reaction with deep frying starch like that, but I don't know. They're eating them.
Why would you do that? Korean food is really good.
I don't know. It seems like it's just something on TikTok. Like probably somebody got a bunch of those toothpicks and
tried it. What's the name of that? What was that thing a few years ago when all the junior high kids were like destroying bathrooms and stuff?
Oh yeah,
the Tasty Licks or Devious Licks.
Yeah, Devious Licks.
This is like, a Devious Lick.
Fried toothpicks.
Fried toothpicks. Y'all about a.
Well, it's a starch one, I guess.
Get your fill out of a Devious Lick.
All right, that's it for us this week, guys. RockNewsWeekly.com, Twitch, and YouTube at Rock News Weekly. Thanks for tuning in every week, and we'll see you guys next time. All right, have a good one.
Peace. Happy birthday.